Good evening. The scripture for this evening comes from the book of Proverbs, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 19. And it reads, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered, and when you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Do not let go. Keep her, for she is your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked, and do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. For they do not sleep unless they have done evil, and their sleep is taken away unless they make someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble."
Now for our closing prayer.
It was a typo. That's okay. It's supposed to be 10 through 19, but you know what? It's all divine, and it's all inspired, and that's quite all right. Whenever you're looking at the book of Proverbs, what a book. There are so many wise sayings and so many wonderful expressions that are revealed in the book of Proverbs, that you begin to apply those divine passages to your life, and you truly see as if you're living out what God is directing you to do, that you truly are making wise decisions. Archie, the song that he led just before came up here, "Yield Not to Temptation." What a wonderful song to lead with whenever you're talking about the book of Proverbs and the wise decisions that God calls on us to make. The acquisition of wisdom is stressed repeatedly throughout the fourth chapter of the book of Proverbs. In Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 5, Solomon says, "Get wisdom, get understanding." Here we go on in verse 7 and say, "Wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom, and in your getting, get understanding." You know, the importance of wisdom is further illustrated in those verses 10 through 19, by two different paths, and they are totally opposite of one another. I want us to talk about those two paths tonight, because the bottom line is this: you're either going to take one or the other. And you can look at a person's life and you can see how they're taking one or the other. Let's talk about the path of wisdom first of all. the way of wisdom, and there is the way of wisdom that is discussed here in Proverbs in chapter 4 and verse 11. It is emphasized. Get wisdom. The results, the consequences of choosing this path are, as the author plainly depicts, in chapter 4 and verse 10. He says that the years of your life will be many when you get wisdom. Then you go back and you look in Proverbs in chapter 3, and he essentially is saying the same thing in Proverbs chapter 3. If you look in verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you." What is God trying to tell us? He is saying, and typically this is so, whenever you get wisdom, you get understanding, and spiritually so, you'll make better choices. Isn't that right? It will keep you out of trouble. It'll keep you from going to places and doing things that you shouldn't do. I don't know if you've even thought of it like this. I think there's a commercial out that talks about a healthy choice. A healthy choice. Brother, I would say that we can even look at obeying God's command, following God's word, as even a healthy choice. It helps preserve us not only spiritually, but certainly physically. You know, I'm reminded of what Paul was talking about there in the book of Ephesians in chapter 6, about children honoring your parents, obeying your parents, and prolong your life. Now, that doesn't mean if you don't listen to them, they're going to strangle you, even though they may feel like it at times. That's not what that's talking about. What it's talking about is there is no one that loves you like mommy and dad. And everything they tell you, it is within your best interest to follow it, to do it. You have this conversation with your kids, or you had kids, you've had this conversation with them. I find myself doing this. I know you don't understand why I want you to do this. And there's going to come a day when you're just solely going to fly, be on your own. You can make your own decisions. But until that day comes, I want you to do, and then you fill in the blank. And I have a feeling, even though you don't understand it now, and you may not even agree with it now, there's going to come a day you're going to thank Mom and Dad. You're going to thank them for instructing you to do what they knew was best for you at that time. Brethren, what is sad is that we live in a world where our society is dysfunctional because perhaps too many people are derelict in their duties. And we're not paying attention to what God's Word says. We're void of what God's Word says. But that's what Solomon is saying. He says, you want to prolong your life? Listen to what God says. Do what He says. He goes on with regards to wisdom. He says, when you walk, your steps will not be hindered, in chapter 4 and verse 12. Again, you go back and you look at Proverbs chapter 3. It's just echoing what he said one chapter earlier in verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Do you believe this? Watch this. And He shall direct your path. God will direct your path. Don't lean on yourself. Lean on Him. Lean on Him. Do you believe that?
I do.
I certainly believe that. Whenever there are tough decisions that need to be made, or just as you live out your life, things seem complex, hard to perhaps even understand. The wise preachers say, lean on the Lord. Petition Him. Seek and search His heart, His mind, with regards to how you should settle this. Any and all organizations that are secular, that seem to have a good twist, a good take on how to resolve problems, brethren, I can assure you, you look in the Scriptures and you're going to find that principle in the Scriptures. Why is it whenever you look at an Alcoholics Anonymous group, and one of the first things that they have them to do is to tell who they are and admit what their problem is? Now, where did they come up with that? They came up with that from God's Word. You see, we can't be rid of a problem if we're not willing to acknowledge a problem. That's why you're not voted into the church. When you come to the church, you come to Jesus, that's a decision that you must make, and that is a decision that you have to come to, terms you must come to within your own heart, that says, I'm a sinner. Go back to Alcoholics Anonymous. I'm a alcoholic. You see, when we come to Jesus, we have to admit we're sinners. We're lost. This is what the wise preacher is saying. He goes on, and I think something that's interesting here, he says, and when you run, he said walk before, didn't he? Now, when you run, in verse 12, at the end of verse 12, he says, when you run, you will not stumble. Isn't that interesting? First, he says, when you walk. Now, he says, when you run. Are there things that happen in our life that are typical of this running? Believe it or not, our lives are hectic. Things happen to us in our lives. And you know what? At times, they call on immediate action. An immediate response. Decisions need to be made promptly and quickly. Brethren, I would rather go into any and all decisions with an understanding of what God wants me to do than going into a situation not knowing what to do. Do you understand the benefit that a Christian has as they live out their lives? Being enlightened by God on how to live your life? We're going to talk about the difference in the decisions that people make that are in Christ versus those that are outside of Christ in here in just a moment. But in light of such consequences, the following admonition is given in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, take firm hold of instruction. Do not let it go. Take firm hold of it. Don't let go of it. Keep her, for she is your life. The Inspired Preacher says, the path of wisdom is what God would have you to take hold of. Don't let go of it. It's the right path to take. Ever been in a situation before where you knew what was right? You knew the path to travel. You knew the road to take. And not everyone else was taking that path. Not everyone else was walking that road. But you did. You did. And you were unmovable. You were steadfast and firm on the path that you took because you knew this is the path that God has placed us on. And we're going to take it. We're going to follow it. Maybe there's been some situations or circumstances in your life where maybe you were the minority. You know, if there was ever a man that was in the minority and knew all about that scenario, it would have been Noah. Noah was in the minority in his family. But still yet, he listened to God, he followed God's instructions, and he did exactly what God called him to do. It was a wise choice, wasn't it? It saved him and his family. Here's what I'm trying to tell you. If God says it's so, don't let the influences and the voices from the world, or even from those that are in the church but are of the world, distract you or sway you from being true to God. Stay on that path. Then there is the path of the wicked. The path of the wicked is the way of evil. Chapter 4 and verse 14. Note the strong instruction regarding this path in verses 14 and 15. Listen to this. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. You think God's trying to tell us something? I think Paul summed it up like this. Abstain from every appearance of evil. That was the angle he came from. Stay away from it. Avoid it. Turn away from it. Reasons to avoid this path, as we see in verse 16, one can easily become obsessed with doing evil. Can a person become addicted to sin? You better believe it. You better believe it. Solomon talks about it. Just continually. All day. Sin is addictive. It enslaves many a soul. John chapter 8 and verse 34. Paul would point out in the book of Ephesians, in that letter to those Christians there, and I want you to notice in Ephesians in chapter 4, what Paul says in verses 14 or verse 19. Listen, he says, let's begin with verse 17. This is the context of it. He says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds." There's them, the world, the way they live, the way they reason, the way they conduct their lives, and there's us as far as Christians. Paul's saying, that's not you anymore. You're a new man. But listen to what he says. The futility of their minds. Look at their minds. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. They're void of understanding. They just don't get it. Their minds are futile, empty with regards to what God wants. Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. Look at verse 19. Who being past filling, they have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. Their senses are dulled. their senses are dulled. And because their senses are dulled, they just remain in that state and continue to add sin on top of sin. It becomes a life of wickedness and violence. Solomon was saying, chapter 4 and verse 17. Sin is violent in every form. It damages our relationships with God. It damages our relationships with one another. It damages our relationships in the church. No wonder Paul remained at it so strong and so firm in his instruction to those Christians in Corinth. When his views on how to live the life of a godly person was challenged. Think about it. Whenever there was sexual immorality that existed in the church, Paul could have simply winked at it and just said, well, let them work it out. But he understood a little leaven leavens the whole lump. In other words, if we give this a pass, we got to give everything a pass. Everything's got to go unchecked. You have no credibility with dealing with a problem. We have got to deal with this. The path of the wicked is what God would have you to avoid, folks. The two paths are contrasted. The path of the just is like the shining sun. Proverbs 4:18. Just as the sun becomes brighter and brighter as it rises to reach its zenith in the sky. It's ever shining. See, those who are wise and choose wisdom, they are enlightened. They are enlightened. But then again, Solomon talks about those who live in darkness. The way of the wicked is like darkness in verse 19. Again, that's what Paul was talking about in Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 17 through 18. We ask ourselves, how is it that some folks can live in sin to the degree that they just don't get it? They don't understand it. You don't need to name any names, but have you seen folks become so committed to a life of sin that it just boggles your mind? And you've asked the question time and time again, when are they going to get it? When are they going to wise up? When are they going to figure this out? I mean, it's almost predictable, isn't it? You know what's going to happen. You know what the next chapter is because of the life that they choose to live. You know what the next frame is. You don't have to guess. Because, folks, these are the consequences and the fruits of sinful behavior. It's predictable. It's predictable. It breaks my heart. When you see folks who have not only made bad decisions, but choose to stand by those bad decisions. And then, what's worse yet, is when they understand the consequences of their sin, you talk to them about it, you address what the problem is, square in your eyes, they'll look at you and say, oh, you're right, brokenhearted, I'm going to change, I know better, I shouldn't have done that, I need to get out of that type of life. Check in on them 3 months, 4 months, 5, 6 months later. and they're back at it again. Back at it again. It is kicking dirt in the eyes of our Lord. We had that sermon last week about the dog going back to his vomit. You see, that's what Solomon is talking about. Those who live in darkness. Those who live in darkness, it's just mind-boggling. You know what the next frame is. Let's talk about the metaphor that the preacher uses here. The one of brightness, the sun that is shining. It depicts one that is illuminating. A progressive light that is always shining. Jesus would use that same analogy, wouldn't he? City set on a hill, you're a bright and shining light. Our children even sing about it. Put it under a bushel? No. Because God intends for that light to shine all the time. Not just sometimes. All the time. You compare that to the Christian life. It is a life of progression, church. It is a life of progression. We begin as babes and we are designed to grow spiritually that way. Peter said so in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2. As newborn babes, you are to crave that pure, sincere milk of God's Word, he says, that you will grow thereby. It's a progression. We are to grow in grace and knowledge. Peter would address in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verses 2 through 3. You see, we continue to grow. Though it might not always be the case with some Christians, whose lives are either characterized by remaining stagnant or even going backwards. We think of maybe some that think it's just time to retire. It's just time to retire. Brother, God hasn't called us unto retirement yet. You know when we get to retire? When we breathe our last breath. That's when we retire. That's what we sing, isn't it? We'll work till Jesus comes. You ever think about the songs we sing? Yeah, I've oftentimes said that. If the preacher has to practice what he preaches, the church has to move what it sings. Goes both ways. Goes both ways. God hasn't called us to retirement until we breathe our last breath. And we're going to work till Jesus comes. We need to press forward, as Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 15. I press forward to the goal. I'm pressing forward. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you with that metaphor that Solomon is. About that bright light that is ever shining. How to keep that light always glowing and always shining. Because I want you to understand something. Folks, we're involved in a spiritual battle. The devil is bidding for our hearts, our minds, and our souls. And he is doing anything and everything in his power to snuff out that light. Jesus is the one who we are reflecting. He's that bright light. We are reflecting his image. And I want to challenge you. I do. To be that person who always allows that bright light to shine. I want to encourage you in your devotion with God to get closer to God. In your prayer life, what a beautiful way to get closer to God. Always talking to Him. Does this take time to study His Word? I have not forgotten since the day I became a full-time preacher the blessing it is to be able to preach full time. I am grateful for the fact that I can go off to my own little sanctuary and open up God's pure and undefiled Word and sit down and study it and read it. And we live busy lives. I understand that. Your life is not like mine where you get to go off to an office and do that. You have jobs. You have school. You have other routines. But let's not allow those routines work against us. Let's make sure we're making time for God and our relationship with Him in every spiritual way possible to keep that bright light shining. I don't care if it's getting up 10 minutes earlier and just beginning with a prayer each day. I don't care if it's taking time, a little extra time. We live in a fast food society anyway. Eat it a little quicker and make time to study your Word. Let's let that bright light shine. I want to encourage you. If you've not obeyed the gospel to do that, there's two paths. You're going to follow one or the other. You're going to be on one path or the other. There's going to be a path of wisdom, of understanding, of allegiance, of obedience unto God. And there's going to be a path of wickedness. There's going to be a path of wickedness. Which path are you on? Path are you following? If you're not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one. To come forward tonight, repent of your sin. Confess Christ as your Lord and Savior. Be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. Maybe you've done that. You've strayed away. You've gotten off the right path. And you know you have. And when I say we've gotten off the right path, folks, we have dangerously gotten off the right path. In virtually every conversation I've had with someone who has really done something that we would classify as a really? Every conversation I've ever had with anyone that has done that, you know what they've expressed to me? I am glad I got caught. I am glad I got caught. Because it addresses the addiction and it makes sure that some accountability can come to the table and some healing can begin. I'm trying to say to you tonight, I don't know your circumstances, but I know what Satan's goal is. There's just one person. We are dangerously on the wrong path. I want to encourage you to come back. You can do that together.